be in the Lord's house. And I was thinking about as work's been here lately, I appreciate used to a full time pastor and in the ministry, and I didn't really think about how much going to work and then coming to church, but I appreciate you, your effort tonight. I know you've had a long day, a hard day, and I just want to say I appreciate it. It's a blessing to see you here. If you got your Bibles, let's look over in the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, turn with me there. It's good to be saved tonight. 2 Timothy, while you turn in, I'm going to pray. Father, we come before you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the honor and the privilege of being in your house tonight. We thank you for Calvary. We thank you for the blood of the Lamb. Lord, I pray tonight, God, that you'd look upon us as a needy people. Lord God, as we open this precious book, Lord God, that is our sustenance, we pray, God, that you'd open it to our ears and our hearts and feed us. Lord God, you know how much I need you tonight. It's no secret. Without you, Lord, we're absolutely nothing. And I just pray, God, for your anointing. And I pray, God, for your touch, God. And I pray you'd help somebody in this house. And we'll be sure to give you all the glory. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All righty. 2 Timothy. I'm interested in, we'll be taking a text out of chapter number 4, but I'm interested in this is Paul's last words to his young preacher. As Paul is here, he's in a prison in Rome, and had the honor and the privilege of being in this place, and this is not like San Quentin, it's not like any prison here in the United States. This is nothing but pretty much a cave down in the ground. And dark, a bunch of rocks is all it was, filled with water. And they say when it would flood, he would be, water would come all the way up to a man's chest. And he's in a very, very hard place when he's writing this letter. And I think about him as what an amazing man Paul was. He was somebody that was definitely a pattern for us to follow after. But I think about his last words, and he starts off this book here, sort of with his introduction to Timothy. And he starts off, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And he goes on, and he talks about in verse 12, for thee which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, he says. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. In his introduction he said, Timothy, I want you to know one thing, that I'm sure of him. I'm sure that he's able. I'm sure that he's able to keep that I've committed unto him, and I'm going to be all right. He says, I realize that my departure's at hand. I realize that I'm fixing to leave this world. And no matter what those Romans do to me, I know that he's able. And I know that he's going to see me through this. Ain't you glad that we've got a God? That no matter what this world throws at us, and no matter what happens in this United States of America, no matter what happens in this world, I don't care what Vladimir Putin does. I don't care what old Mao Zedong in China does. I'm glad that there's a God that sits upon a throne way up high, and he is large and in charge. Amen? He is the one that sits upon the circle of the earth. He is the one that sits upon the throne, and his train is all around the temple. I'm glad that he is in charge. Ain't you glad tonight that we serve a God who's not some puppet? Ain't you glad that we serve a God who's not dead, but he is alive, and he's doing just fine? He's not wringing his hands. He's not worried. He's not fretting over anything, but he is doing fine tonight. Ain't you glad of that? And that gives me some comfort. But in his introduction here,
in his interest, this book here will preach about anywhere you open it. So bear with me just a little bit. We'll get to the messages. But in his introduction there, he said, "Listen, Timothy," he said, "everything's going good with the one I serve." Chapter number two, he comes in with some invigoration. He goes to encourage him a little bit. Oh, young Timothy, he said, "Listen, Timothy, not only have I got faith in God, but I've got a little confidence in you." And he told him there, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And he goes on and he tells him, verse 3, to endure hardness as a good soldier, and talks about war. And he says, "Timothy," he says, "I know what God's put in you, and I know that you're able to do what He's charged you to do." I thank God for the Wednesday night crowd. There's something in you, amen, that this world just ain't got. And I'm glad, I'm proud. I say the Lord says He's proud of you. He loves you. He loves you and He's proud of you tonight. And I thank God for the church. Amen. I thank God for the bride of Christ. Thank God for the building of Christ. Amen. Thank God for the body of Christ. Amen. He is the head, but you and I are the body. And I'm glad tonight to report that the body's doing just fine. Amen. The church, I say, is not in decline, but it's in ascending mode. And we are going up. Amen. The church, it's not falling apart. The church's doing good. The church is fine. And I bless His name for that. Hallelujah to God. The devil have you think the church is folding up and it's about to shut down. But I got news for you. God's not going to let it shut down. It's the most precious thing on this earth. That's the church. It's the most powerful thing on this earth. It's the church. It's not the government. It's not the Senate, the House. It's not the Judiciary Committee. Listen, but it is like the God of glory and His church. If we want something done in this world, it's not the executive order that the president can sign. But listen here, the most powerful thing in this world is what takes place in this room over here to the side and down here in this altar here. Honey, listen, when you fall on your knees and come before the throne of grace, there's a God who created it all. Sun, moon, and stars. All the places that man's trying to reach. He's the one that flung it into existence. And He can move mountains. And He can do anything that He so pleases. He's God. He said, "Timothy, I got confidence in you." In chapter 2, but chapter number 3, he gives us a little information. He says, "Timothy, I want you to know something, Mo. I'm going to give you a little information." He said, "There's some last days coming." He said, "There's some perilous times." He says, "Timothy, you're fixing to see some things unfold that you've never seen before." And listen, absolutely, you can look in chapter number 3 and read that and study it when you get home. And it looks like you're reading out of the New York Times. And it looks like you're watching Fox News when you read chapter 3. Can I get a witness right there? Looks just like it, don't it? And we are in the last days. And I'm not depressed about it, amen. I say I'm not depressed. Hey, I'm glad that I can long for His appearing. Ain't you glad you're saved tonight, honey? Ain't you glad that you're born again? If you're glad you're saved, say amen. I'm glad that one of these days is going to be the last day that my feet are planted on this earth. And God's going to call me home and rapture me out of this place. And I ain't even mad about it. I ain't sad about it neither. I'm happy about it. Lord have mercy. Honey, when it all falls apart, I say, glory to God. He's moving again today. You get bad news on... Listen, you know why I watch the news? Because when they got bad news, I've got good news. Hallelujah to God. If they got good news, that ain't good for me. But listen, when they got bad news, that means heaven's a moving. That means heaven's getting ready. And I'm glad that I'm going there. Ain't you glad? Amen. He said there's some tough times coming. But lastly, chapter 4, we see a little instruction. Instruction, he tells. He says, I charge thee, Timothy. He said, I'm going to give you a charge here. He says, first, he said, listen, Timothy, preach the word. Thank God. Thank God for preaching. I hope I can get past this verse. Thank God for preaching. You know what we need in America today? Is somebody filled with the Holy Ghost to stand up and preach what the Word of God says. I thank God for Brother Ken. Now thank God for his wife, Mr. Renee. Thank God. Listen, it ain't easy to do what he does. I'm telling you, I know. I thank God for a man of God that'll stand up and preach and not care if you and your mama-in-law likes it or not. Say amen. Thank God for somebody who'll get up and preach with a leather lung, amen, and not care if your feelings get hurt. Every once in a while, your feelings need hurt. Amen. I say, you don't live like a saint. You're not an angel. But I'm going to tell you, there's things in your life that only preaching will get out of you. Amen. What's wrong with America today is it got mad about conviction. We need conviction back in the house. Amen. Amen. Alrighty. For the time will come. He said, listen, there's a time coming. He's talking about time. He said that they will not endure sound doctrine. He said that they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. We live in a time today where all they want, they don't want nobody to get up and holler. By the way, if you'll read Revelation and read your Bible, God likes things loud. Amen. Heaven's going to be a loud place, so you probably won't like it there. Amen. But this day we live in today, you can go up the road or this way or over this. You can go wherever you want to and you can get you somebody out in there that'll teach you something. That'll look real soft and smooth and it'll soothe you after a long work day. And listen, I tell you, it'll make you feel good about how you're doing. Preaching a lot of times won't do that. He said up there in that verse number 2, he said reprove, rebuke, and exhort. There's 2 out of 3 there that goes against this flesh. By the way, God didn't save this flesh. Yeah, man, this stinking flesh, and I'm glad it is. It's going to the dirt one of these days, amen. Or either he's going to change this vile body and fashion it, unlocking his glorious body. And what? Hey, I'm glad that he didn't save this flesh, but it's the soul that he saved, and that's what's going to make it. About how to bait this crowd here. And yeah, I have been on the cold side. But I've been on the fiery hot side too. But I tried my best to stay out of the lukewarm mess. And this generation today in your liberal churches are lukewarm and somebody needs to call it out. They're leading a generation to hell with their little come say a prayer after me. That's out of hell. I'm telling you, when you mess with a man's soul, you're messing with the most valuable thing that he has. And you're telling him, come pray after me. And then say, welcome to the kingdom of God. What a goofy, messed up stuff. Straight out of the pits of hell. If you repeat this prayer and repeat this and welcome to the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to tell you something. Believing is a heart thing. It's an inside job. It ain't an outside. It ain't a mouth. It ain't something you say. Of course you confess. Read that Romans 10. Yeah, you confess it. But that confession comes after the believing. Amen. It ain't one way to get saved. And if you got saved, you got saved the same way I did. The Holy Ghost of God. You hear me? God's got to come to you and quicken you who were dead in trespasses and sin. He's got to come and convict you and show you that you are lost and on your way to hell. Amen? And then you can ask Him to save you. And there's no script of exactly what you got to say. But when your heart talks to Him and says, God, I know I'm lost. And God, I know I need to be saved. Would you save me? That's salvation. Honey, He'll come in so fast it'll make your head swim. Ain't you glad you're saved tonight? Ain't you glad you got something real and something that ain't fake? Hallelujah. But listen to me. He's giving some instructions. He said, I'm going to leave. I'm fixing to head out of this place. And He says, verse number 11, I want to pick up verse number 11. He says, only Luke's with me now. He said, only Luke's here. He said, I'm down in this little jail cell or this hole in the ground. And only Luke's with me. He said, Timothy, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he's profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychus, if I sent to Ephesus, he said, Timothy, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus. He said, when thou comest, bring with thee. He said, I'm cold, Timothy. Cold down here in this water up against these rocks. He said, I'm bringing my coat. He said, the books, he said, but especially the parchments. He said, I'm down here and God's a-talking. And I need something to write on. And he said, Alexander the coppersmith, he said he did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou where also? For he hath greatly withstood our words. Verse 16, he said, at my first answer, no man stood with me. He said, when I first went to court, with nobody with me. I had to go up there all by myself. He said, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. But verse 17, he said, notwithstanding. Hallelujah. The Lord stood with me. I got news for you when nobody else will. He's enough. He said that notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Has anybody ever been there? That by me the preaching might be fully known. And that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The lion would love to have you tonight. But I'm glad that there's one that even if the lion gets you in his mouth, where it seems impossible to get free from. Can you imagine a lion have his teeth wrapped around your abdomen? But I'm glad there's one in glory that knows how to open the lion's mouth and grab his lamb's back. Hallelujah. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me. I'm glad He is a preserving God. Unto His heavenly kingdom. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Prisca, Aquila, the household of Onesimus, Erastus, abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. And here's what I want to see, what I want to look at tonight. He said, verse 21, he said, do thy diligence to come before winter. Do thy diligence to come before winter. I'm interested. I looked at that and that little word, one word, winter, popped out at me. And even though, I want to be an encouragement to you tonight, even though everything is good in the church, God's still on the throne, don't mean that winter's not coming. God will see you through winter. But I'm interested in that word, winter time. Timothy was listening to Paul. He was reading Paul's letter here. And Paul told him, said, listen, Timothy, do your diligence. He said, do your very best. He said, to come before winter. And you know, I got to thinking about that wintertime season and how this must be. We must be in the last days in these times. And you know what? If the Lord tarries His coming, and He may just do that, He may come back before the night service is over, of course. But then again, He may tarry a little while. I don't believe it'll be long, but He may tarry a little season. And it may get more wintry around here than we ever dreamed it could be. So in order for us to realize this, we ought to, you know, there's some things that we need to take a look at. First of all, in the wintertime, I noticed that finding comfort gets difficult. Finding comfort when it gets cold outside, when it gets wintry, finding comfort is difficult. You know, in the wintertime, that warm sun feels so good in the spring. You go out, boy, I love springtime. When you get to go out that first 60-something plus degree weather, it feels like it's 85. Boy, it feels so good. You're wanting to go out there and pull your chair. We pulled our chair right out smack dab in the middle of the driveway. It looked like a bunch of nuts. Sit out there and let that sun just beam down on us. Feels so good. But in the wintertime, I realize that finding this comfort is difficult because it seems like that warm sun is behind some clouds. There's clouds in this world today. There's clouds of wickedness. And there's clouds, if it's not wicked, there's clouds of weariness. Those that's not wicked are weary, it seems like. Are you, listen to me tonight, I wonder if you're one that goes to work and you see the wickedness. You have to see it like I do. And I know you do. You go out in this world and you go to places and it's wickedness all around. Boy, it seems like that's a cold atmosphere to be in. It seems like it's a cold place to be in this world. It seems like it blinds us from the sun. Listen to me. Finding comfort's difficult. The warm sun behind the cloud, but the wind goes to sneaking through some cracks. You know, summertime, springtime, when it's warm like it is right now, you don't think about them cracks in your windows and around your doors and all at the house. You don't think about them much, but you let a good 30-degree night come, and it get down there in the cold, you go over to them windows in your house, and you're going to be the feeling around them, and you'll feel a little whistling wind coming through that crack there, and you'll be hunting some tape, you'll be hunting something to seal that crack up. You know what? These winds of doubt. Boy, these winds, you know, this world, if you ain't careful, you better listen to me in this wintertime season here. There's a wind of doubt that'll sweep over your soul and over your household. That'll make you doubt that you even saved. It'll make you, listen to me now, the devil would love for you to doubt your faith even. I realize I'm preaching to the Wednesday night crowd, but the devil would love to make you doubt everything that you exist for. How many times has he ever said to me, I wonder if this stuff's even real. I wonder if this stuff, what in the world am I going to church for? I wonder if this is even real. Am I preaching honestly to anybody? Has the devil ever got in your head and said it ain't worth it? Listen, this ain't working. It's not worth it. Ain't no sense in doing this. There's winds of doubt and he'll place it in your heart. But I got news for you tonight. It is worth it. And it's real. It's the most real thing that there is on this earth. And I'm glad to be a part of it. There's winds of doubt. There's winds of discouragement. that we have to deal with and we have to face on a daily basis. And it's wintertime. We may be right smack dab in the middle of it. It may be coming down the road. But these discouragements that we have to face as God's children, these things that discourage us and get us down. And listen, you deal with it. Don't tell me you don't. I deal with it. My family will be discouraged. My wife, my children, you'll get discouraged. I get discouraged. We all deal with discouragement that the devil bothers us with. I know there's a lot of folks that's got a good mask on and they look like everything's perfect. Their home is perfect. Their world is perfect. Their job's perfect. Their schooling, whatever it might be, is perfect and hunky-dory. But I got news for you. They're lying through their teeth. I'm telling you that the devil is the biggest discourager, and he's the one that wants you to think that everybody else has got it made and you got it the worst. Honey, let me tell you, we're all in this thing together. We're all headed towards the same shore. And listen, God is going to take care of us. The only way you can stay warm in the winter is to get by fire. Amen. Sun goes behind the clouds, it seems like. The wind comes through the cracks. But I'm glad there is a fire. You know what? And I believe this with all my heart, or you wouldn't be here on a Wednesday night after a hard day's work. Listen, I believe you realize that there's a fire down at the house of God, and it's something that you need, and that's why you're here. Hey, amen. I believe every one of you in the house tonight's here for one simple reason. Is you're coming in here and you want to do this number right here. Amen. You've been out in this cold world and everything, listen, has got you. Got the chill bumps running up and down your back. Amen. You're cold all over and you've tried to cover up. But here's the fire in here tonight. And I'm glad. Ain't you glad tonight that God hadn't forgot us? And God is kindle a fire for us that we can get warm. Amen. It may not be but twice a week, but I'm glad that God still got a fire down at the house of God, and He let us get us warm every once in a while. Hallelujah. Also, I notice about winter time, not only is it difficult to find comfort, but it's the daily commute gets dangerous. Daily commute gets dangerous. Winter time gets down below 30, 32, 30. I know 32 is freezing. I ain't bad ignorant. I did go to Bowden, but usually about 30, though, before it goes to freezing stuff. You know, there's a little water on the roads. Ways we got to go to work, you got to slow down, or you'll wind up in a ditch. Roads get slippery. Listen to me, child of God. Hear me, please. While it's wintertime, and while winter's coming, you better be careful on your daily commute. When you're going to work tomorrow, when you're going wherever you go, and I don't care if it's to Piggly Wiggly, you better be careful. You're careful in your car. You watch the road. You drive. You're supposed to. You got your Android Auto or Apple iPlay or whatever it is on your dash. All that, you know, you're always careful in a physical sense, but we'd better be careful in a spiritual sense. And you better listen to somebody that knows. You better be careful. You better be careful tonight, or you'll be in the ditch before you know it. Roads get slippery. I noticed something else, though, that, you know, reactions get slow. Our muscles go to freezing up. And in the winter time now, especially, takes these ball players, it takes people that's working. You know, they stretch, and football players, they stretch because their muscles get tight. They go out there without warming up, they'll pull a muscle, and reactions get slow. You be careful as you're cold and you're going, you'll leave here tonight and you'll go out and face your job. You'll go out to who knows where and go out in this world, and you're going to be around cold tomorrow and cold Friday and Saturday. You better be careful because you may need to react to something real fast. And if you're not limbered up, if you're not in shape, you could react too slow. Boy, how we need to be careful. Careful on these roads of life. You know what? Something else on our daily commute, the reality of stalling out. You know, it's nice and warm on the outside right now. And if you run out of gas, it wouldn't be that really the big a deal, would it? I wouldn't like it, and I don't prefer it, especially tonight. But you know what? I'd whole lot rather it be tonight than I had for it to be January. You know, in this winter time here, if you stall out, if you get to the place to where the devil's beat you down so far, honey, you need Sunday morning church service. You need Wednesday night church service way worse than you could ever imagine, because it gets you just warm enough to get you through a couple of days. And listen to me, if you stall out in this world today on your daily commute, it could be deadly. Am I right about it? Stalling out. Giving up. Listen to me, not only in this wintertime season, finding comfort is definitely difficult. Our daily commute gets very dangerous. But I noticed that once something else about winter, that once thriving crops begin to die. You notice that? When that first frost comes, once things that fed you begin to die. Things that once kept you and fed you and nourished you are now dying out. Isn't it amazing that all the men that's in my study at home, I got books, I love books to collect them and read them of old preachers. But you know, they're dying out. All you men that you read, they're gone. Even a lot of them that's preached in this pulpit right here. You think about it, church. You've been here, some of you long. Listen, a lot of the men that's preached standing right here where I preach tonight are gone on to glory. A lot of them are unable. I love the hound out of Brother LaVon Boatner. Love him. What an amazing man of God. He ain't able no more. He'd love to, but he just ain't able. Once thriving crops are dying, are now beginning to die out. You know what? In the sight of these withering crops, just the sight is a scary thing. Can you imagine? I know now we can hop in the car, we can go up here to the grocery store, we can load up 12 bags of groceries, carry them back to the house, stick them in the pantry, and eat for a week or 2 weeks, however long. But you know what? Back in the day, can you imagine back 100 years ago when there wasn't a Piggly Wiggly, wasn't a Walmart Supercenter? Can you imagine what it must have been like after a year when there wasn't very many crops to come in and people were canning and putting stuff up? Now they see these corn plants wilting over. They see all these things dying out. Can you imagine the soberness that they must have felt? They're fixing to face winter with mama and 4 or 5 little youngins there that's totally dependent on what's been put up for the winter. And the neighbors can't help them. If they could, they would, but they can't because they've got to take care of theirs. And you know what? As we look across
this land, we see the churches. How many, listen to me, how many preachers do you know? And I'm not sticking, I think we ought to stick a feather in Brother Ken's hat, but he ain't God, and he'll tell you, but I sure am grateful tonight. And we ought to take care of him, ought to be a blessing to him. You ought to pray for him more than anything. I'm grateful that there, somehow under God's sovereignty, he has allowed me, oh feeble me, to be under a man like that. You ought to thank God for that. You could be up in the Yankeeville, amen? I thank God for some rednecks. Hallelujah. I preached in Washington State. I preached up north. And boy, howdy. I love them people. Sweet people. Very, God's children. But boy, they ain't nothing like a hacking preacher. Thank God. Ain't you glad tonight that God allowed you? You could have been born in Zimbabwe and God had still been God. Amen? He could have allowed you to have been born somewhere else and God would still be God. But I'm glad that he allowed me to be here in Bowden, Georgia under a man that gets up, hacks, and preaches and everything ain't exactly in order the way people think it ought to be. And I'm glad that God's allowed to move through the church and do exactly what he so pleases to do. Hallelujah. Ain't you glad of that? Glory. Brother Ken, I'm going to tell you now. I know what I'm saying. I'm about done. Hang in there. Brother Ken will get run off from a lot of places the way he pastored. I'm telling you, I know. I know. They wouldn't put up with it. Mossback deacons wouldn't put up with it, not for a minute. Probably wouldn't let him get through one message. I know what I'm saying. The churches that he preaches at are churches scattered out all over the place that's similar to this one. And I'll guarantee you some of the places that he preaches at don't exactly all of them like what he's preaching, but the preacher has invited him in so they can help that congregation. And I'm glad tonight that Brother Ken leads in the manner that he leads you. Don't know how valuable that is, but he leads in the manner that he leads so that the Holy Ghost of God is preeminent and he can have his will and way in the house of God. It ain't your house, it ain't my house, it's God's house. And what takes place in here, God ought to have the say-so. Thank God for a man that will allow that. The sight of withering crops is discouraging. The shortage of producing crops. And it's hard to find a place nowadays to have church. If you left here, where would you go to really have church? I'm going to tell you just flat as it is tonight. It wouldn't hurt tonight for an invitation to have somebody just play and crawl up on this altar here and say, "Oh God, thank you for my church." I'm telling you flat out like it is. Don't ask him for nothing, but just get up here on this altar and say, "God, I'm grateful that I'm not in some dead, dried up place. And I beg you to help my pastor. I beg you to help Miss Renee." Shortage of producing crops. It's hard to find a place. Have church. But you know what? I'm glad that there is such a thing as preserving. I'm glad that you can put up a few things. You know what you ought to do? You know what I've purposed and I've learned? And I'm not the brightest bulb in the box. I realize that. But you know what I have learned to do? I've learned to take what the man of God preaches on Sunday and Wednesday night and chew on it like a chow chews a cud Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And what he preaches on Sunday, chew the cud on Monday, chew the cud on Tuesday, and see if you can get any more juice out of it. Don't be a hog and just swallow it down. Just spit that stuff up. Hey, that's redneck stuff. Spit it up and chew on it a while. You can't get that up north. Preserve some things. Put some things in the can. You know what? I'm still feasting. One service, and I'm nearly about to hush, I promise you. One service, Miss Renee, that I feast on today, Megan, I feast on it, Brother Tim, is Brother Dana Williams was here one night. The Lindsay boys was here. And the glory flew through this place. I don't think it was a wing on either side, but it was shoulder to shoulder in here. I think it was some people up yonder. I was sitting right about a little bit further behind Brother Daniel right there. And them Lindsay boys got up here to sing. And Brother Dana said something. And it was, I promise you, it was like a wind that started. It's like you flipped on a fan up here, one of them big old humongous shop fans. And it started blowing across this building. You say, you sure do remember that in detail. You're right. You know why? Because when I get down, when I get to a place to where I can't even see the daylight coming up, I can think back to the God who did it yesterday. Hallelujah. And you know what? I'm asking Him to do it tomorrow, but in a bigger and bolder fashion. I want to see Him. I ain't interested in... You ain't here to hear me preach. You're not here to hear somebody sing. But you're here to see Him and hear Him. Amen? Lastly, somebody come. I want somebody... Let's do some praying tonight. Somebody play, Amy. If somebody... It becomes a challenge to control disease when it's wintertime. You know, we stay cooped up. We stay inside too much. And them germs go to floating around there. You go to breathing them. That's why they say you ain't got to wear a mask outside and you got to wear one inside, even though the mask ain't really no good, they say. And I don't know all that stuff. I'm not a doctor. God give me Psalms 91 when this all started, because I have to go before thousands of people in all these plants. God give me Psalms 91 when it started. I was scared to death. But you know what? I couldn't shut my home down because I got no money. But you know what? When we are crowded in here, the reason they didn't want us to get crowded in here and come together is because of these particles floating around that we can't see that harm us. You know what? When you get, listen to me, when you get all cooped up, when you get all to yourself and all about yourself, there's disease that can get inside you and hurt you and possibly kill you. But I'm glad that there is the antivirus. I'm glad that, listen to me tonight, whatever's ailing you, the antidote's up here. There's a vaccine. I'm glad I've had the sin vaccine. I've been to Calvary. Have you sinned? Absolutely. But I've got the vaccine. But whatever's ailing you tonight, He can help you with it. I promise you. He can help you. You may just want to come tonight. The Lord may have showed you how blessed you really are and where you're sitting right now. As my sister plays, you ought to come and thank Him or whatever's on your heart. If you want to go get somebody and pray with them, you do that. Father, we thank You for Calvary. Thank You for dying for us. Thank You for Your Word. We love You and we appreciate You. We ask Your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. As the Lord leads.